This is a story about what happens when you have breast cancer, told in real time.
A year ago, we started this podcast. The night before your first chemo appointment, right?
Yeah.
Tonight, we're going to go through three stories. One is called New Kristen and Old Austin, because you just came to Austin for 3 weeks, so we want to cover that. And I forget which one of your friends called it that, but I love it.
It's awesome. My friend Brian.
And then we'll talk about your appointment today, and then we're going to try something different, and I'm going to rapid fire you at the end and ask you about the last year. I'm going to ask you a bunch of really quick questions, like a game show. You're going to have to say first thing that comes to mind.
You know what? With New Kristen, you never know what's going to come out.
You just don't.
We might have to do a...
That'd be funny. It was great to have you here in Austin. You had the chance to drive all the way back because you had the great, fun experience of cleaning out your storage unit, which everybody wants to do during vacation.
And COVID.
And COVID. And then there's a bunch of other stuff going on. So just give us the recap of your visit.
Sure. So I flew out there with Jack, my dog, and it was really, really good to be out there. I was really nervous about coming back because there are so many good things. And I was so looking forward to seeing my friends and all of that. There was a lot of apprehension though, because that's where the last couple of years that I was there were super painful. So it was extremely interesting because rather than feeling disempowered and nervous, I felt more empowered. If I ran into someone and it was an uncomfortable situation from the school district or something, at first I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Because I love going to Honey Ham. I love going to Maudie's. I love, you know, all my favorite places. And I was staying literally around the corner from the school where I taught and right next door to where my son went to school. And then the high school where I taught and where my son went to, all three of these schools. So there's a lot of memories that were there. And in addition to my career. And so it was interesting because I thought about it and I thought, oh, so-and-so walks in and we make eye contact, like, I don't really matter in my world anymore. So I'll just give them a look and kind of just look away and keep moving. And that was not the frame of mind that I had when I was here before. I was doing everything I could not to run into them. And that really does speak to how I've really done the work on trauma.
And anybody scary or no?
No.
No.
I saw a couple of students, but from a long time ago. 99.9% of the time, that's always great. No, I didn't run into anybody that was scary. Well, and that probably has to do with the fact that it was over their break for the most part. The school was on break also. But it was interesting because it showed me that I had worked a lot on worthiness, a lot on self-confidence. And I think this last year, I'm kind of no bullshit anymore. And my boundaries are there. And I know I've mentioned it on here. I really didn't have any contact with anybody who didn't love me unconditionally and vice versa. That was amazing because I didn't have to pretend. I didn't have to, I'm probably not saying it right. It was actually empowering to be there as a visitor. And I think we talked about this. When I moved to Austin in very beginning of January, 1994, I had come out to work for Whole Foods and they hired me over the phone when I was living in Woodland Hills up in the LA area. I said, you guys are really nice, but I'm looking at this map and you're in the center of Texas and the only experience I have with Texas is DFW. And so could I come out? And they said, yeah, come on out. It's our open enrollment. You can help us with some benefit stuff. So I actually got there mid-December. And so it's always has a really special place in my heart because I fell in love with Austin in 4 days and was there for 2 weeks. And the first thing they did is they took me to Threadgill's and Shady Grove. And unfortunately, those aren't there anymore. But then the Yule Tree and the Trail of Lights. And so every time I saw the Yule Tree, my heart just jumped because it just reminded me of a really exciting time. I was 28. That was like half my life ago because I'm 56. How crazy is that? So I was in Austin for 26 years.
You might only be halfway through your whole life at this point.
I might.
You could live to be 112.
I could.
Roughly.
Wow. It's possible. I don't know if I want that, but.
Two or three highs and lows from your trip.
Okay. You're going to think I'm sucking up, but truly one of the big highs was the day that you and I and Mary Ellen spent together. It was wonderful talking about our planning and the show and experiences. Let's see, another high was when I actually had my storage unit completely empty and I took a picture and there was nothing left in it. And I got to see my friend Christy several times during the trip, and she is so close to my heart and I love her so much. And so that was getting to see her that much was a highlight. And getting to see my friend Sonia and stay with her. She had some back surgery and I got to be her nurse for a while and be in control of her meds, which gives me a little control.
Nurse Ratchet.
But the reason that I was out there doing the storage unit thing is because, so I moved out here January 3rd of 2020, and I wasn't able to get everything out here with the movers. And so I opened a storage unit, like a little 5x10 storage unit, and it was a lot of memorabilia, and it was when I packed up my classroom, and there was a lot of emotions that were involved in it. I went through everything and sat in there and sobbed and laughed, and it was like closing the door on my life living there in Austin. I love Austin and I will always come back. One of the highlights I have to say too was doing what I used to do on Sunday mornings. I would go to Maudie's and I would watch the fantasy football stuff, and I had my planner with me this time. So I sat there and I had my chorizo egg and cheese tacos with chips and queso and coffee, and I just sat there and was working in my journal and my date book for an hour or two. And with my Sunday morning ritual, that it was like, oh yeah, this is fun. That was a good treat. And nerds on New Year's Eve.
You had a friend fly out to drive back with you. What did it feel like getting in the car and driving away again?
So yeah, my friend Deanna, I've known her since I was 16 in high school. She flew out Thursday night and things didn't really go according to plan. We had to do a little modification. I was going to rent a truck and put everything in it and leave Texas in like a Dodge Ram or an F-150, you know, really leave with a bang. And because we were renting it at the airport and it was a certain size car or whatever, they wouldn't rent it to us because we didn't have a return flight. And we're like, oh man, come on. You know, we had really planned on having the truck going and loading it up, you know, the next morning and leaving first thing. So I was looking for a solution that night around 9 o'clock as I was laying in this cabin trying to go to sleep and didn't really find one. So I went to sleep, said a little prayer, like, oh, come on, I did all this work. Come on. And so we ended up renting a Ford Transit van. Oh. So, yeah. And so we had way more than enough room. It cost about twice as much as I wanted to spend, but I didn't have to worry about securing things in the back of a truck or pulling a trailer along and maybe the rental car agency being pissed off because I wasn't supposed to tow something. It was super comfortable. We both swear that they have the speedometer fixed at 76. We could never, no matter how far the pedal went down, we could never get above 76. We got out of town around noon and I had booked an Airbnb right outside of Las Cruces in a little place called Anthony, New Mexico. Cutest. It was the top of a barn, like an artist's barn. And it was probably 1,200 square feet, all one room, except for the bathroom. It was very interesting because I don't know why, but that first night I had to be out of Texas. We're getting through Texas the first day. And it wasn't that I disliked Texas. It was just I needed to be out of Texas on my first day.
Anybody that's driving that route knows it's very hard to stay in El Paso. It doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't.
And I can't even explain why, but I've always been really uncomfortable there.
Same. Well, I took a different route because I saw Travis and Sharon while I was there, and we had such a wonderful visit. And Sharon was telling me about a different route to go rather than going through downtown El Paso. And I thought I was going north, and I was actually going south, which is really hard to do when you go south of downtown El Paso. And we were probably next to the wall, literally like the wall, for about 40 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. And what the wall, it was like you could see through it. It was part with slats. What was fun is that as we went across, you know, me being a history nerd, I would tell Deanna, so there's the Continental Divide. And we'd talk about the Continental Divide and we'd talk about the Mexican-American War, and she let me be a nerd. So it was weird thinking that I don't have any roots in Austin anymore. I lived there for 26 years. Of course I have roots there, but just not physical roots anymore. So it was a little bit sad, but it was also, I was so tired from trying to get this task done that it was just good to get moving on. And it was a great trip. We laughed. We played stupid songs. You know, we had to have Blake Shelton on until we got out of Texas, at least.
Okay, so you're home. It's a new year. It's day 365. Mm-hmm. And you saw your oncologist today, who you have not seen in quite some time. So let's get caught up there. I think earlier you told me she hadn't even seen your Frankenboob yet.
No, neither one of them.
Boobs, sorry. I don't want to
put them together. Well, they're both Franken in different ways. And yeah, so the last time I saw her was June 1st. It was the day before my last chemo. So she hadn't seen it. And she didn't seem surprised. She did comment that the right one where radiation was, she goes, oh, that skin is really tight. That looks painful. It's the area that would be toward the cleavage or toward the center of my chest and the top from how much my skin was radiated there. The skin feels so thin. It's like I feel the nerves in the skin there. It feels like a bruise. And my pain across from armpit to armpit and down my right arm is probably always at a 3 or 4. I can't even see inside my armpit because that tendon that's right there next to my armpit by my chest, it's always tight. So there is always about a 3 to 4 pain level there that I've just kind of learned to work with. And then I have bone pain, and she and I talked about that. I was really surprised when she asked me how I've been doing. I just got tears in my eyes, and it was almost like it was you, or it was like I could let my guard down a little bit. And I said, I feel like I've aged 10 years this year. And she shook her head. She's like, yeah, you've been through it. This is the only time actually since chemo number 2 that she saw me with hair. Because I lost my hair after the second chemo and it was coming back really short, you know, fuzzy. We talked about the bone pain. We talked about the neuropathy, how I had been tripping over my feet. And now I'm actually having a consult in the morning for plantar fasciitis and some Achilles tendon issues that I have in my feet.
Who are you seeing for that?
A PT.
Okay.
Yeah, PT. And then I'll start my lymphedema physical therapy back up too in the next couple of weeks. She was telling me that the things that I was describing had to do with the anastrozole that I'm taking. And she said, you know, do you want to switch meds? And I said, no, because like I see so many people who have so many different side effects. And comparatively, I don't feel like I'm having that many. I take it at night. And she said, well, what we could do is, she said, you could stop it for 2 weeks and then start it up again. And sometimes that helps to do a reset and you don't get the side effects. And so we were talking about a timeline for that, and we hadn't really decided on one yet. And then I was telling her that I always felt nauseous after I ate, and she told me to keep an eye on that. That's not something that we normally saw. I was asking her about the edema in my legs. And she said, that's from chemo. And she didn't say it's a chemo thing, but it was kind of like one of those. And then I can't believe I'm going to tell you this, but I have no idea why, because I've never been a smelly girl, but I will literally scrub, bathe, do all that stuff that you normally do when you, you know, shower and stuff. I make sure that I clean my underarms like every single time. And I know this sounds like a weird conversation to have, but I'll get out of the shower and I'll put a shirt on and I'll put deodorant on and I smell like, I don't know, like what age is the stinkiest boy? 16 out of the shower. All of a sudden I smell it and I'm like, what is that? It's my left armpit. And my right one doesn't smell.
That's so weird.
And so I know. And so I told her that today. I go, okay, can you please explain this to me? And she goes, well, the reason your right one doesn't is because you had radiation there. And it's almost like it killed that piece or something. So I try to stand on people's left side, you know, with my right side so that they don't smell me sometimes. I know. Did you notice that I stank?
No.
Okay, good.
Never. No.
Okay.
I routinely stink myself because I don't have any good excuses, actually.
Well, I guess I have a good excuse. And I said, what is that from? She goes, chemo. And I was like, another one of those things they don't tell you that happens in chemo. And I said, well, when's it going to go away? She goes, it might not.
Oh, no.
So I might have this boy smell in my armpit for the rest of my life. I use deodorant, so I manage it. But literally, when I smell it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Seriously? I mean, I say that out loud every single day that I smell that. And I would say it's 4 to 5 out of 7 days.
Now that you're saying that, I have to wonder if Miradry would actually make it go away permanently.
Oh.
That technology. Maybe. That's what that does.
Maybe.
I'll have to ask next time you go over to Olaya Cosmetic.
Right? Exactly. So she went over my blood work and my vitamin D is low. And so I'm taking extra vitamin D. And they did a bone density scan back in before radiation. And because this anastrozole can cause osteoporosis. Because if you really think about it, it's basically prematurely aging. Mm-hmm. Because you're taking all the estrogen out of a woman's body. And estrogen is what keeps people young. One of the things. So she tells me, and I can't remember what it is. It's not osteoporosis. It's like pre-osteoporosis in my hips and my back. And because of that, she wants me to take something called Zomita. And one of the good side effects of it is that it's supposed to also prevent breast cancer from showing up in your bones. So if it was going to metastasize, it wouldn't be in the bones, which is good.
Sounds good.
Right? I mean, that is a place that some people will have it metastasize. So that's a plus. But she said that some of the side effects can be more bone pain. And there's some issues with your jaw sometimes, blurry vision, agitation. Like, oh, come on. I'm already a bitch half the time. And also feeling like things around you are moving. And I'm like, okay, I don't need any more funky side effects. But she's going to keep an eye on it. And she does blood work right before each injection.
Have you not made a decision about this yet? Or you think you're going to do it?
I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to look into it a little bit more, the research behind it, about the side effects and stuff. But I can't imagine being 58 years old or 60 years old and falling and breaking a hip. So I'll look at the side effects with it. And unless anything really rings out at me, I'm going to go get it. So it's interesting. I'm taking medication to keep the cancer away and then taking another medication for the side effects that the anastrozole causes. I'm hoping maybe that will help me from not having a broken rib. Remember how I told you there's like a random broken rib here and there? Huh. So maybe that'll help.
I like your logic. It sounds fine to me.
Trying. I'm trying. I left there a little bit crestfallen.
When's your next appointment with her?
July.
Okay. That's 7 months away.
Well, six. Yeah.
Six. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll see her every 6 months. And unless something comes up, she wants me to really keep an eye on my digestive system. Well, the next time I see her, I should have my exchange surgery finished and that neck surgery too.
Yeah. Now that it's been 1 year, let's do something a little fun.
Okay.
I'm going to try to get a laugh out of you here because we've been so serious for so long.
I know.
So we're going to do a little rapid fire and I'm going to okay. Rapid fire, Kristen. I mean, don't mean I'm going to say something and then you're going to give me a 5 minute answer.
No. I know. A really couple good words, right?
Just
I know it.
Whatever comes to your mind.
Okay.
The first question is, if you think about the last year, do you have any regrets?
No.
None.
The thing that comes to mind, and then I have to put it out of my mind, is the weight gain.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have any regrets. I have disappointments, which are two very different things.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next one. What is the very best thing that happened in the last year?
Wow. I'm more at peace.
Good answer.
And I'm more at peace because I have turned everything over. I know that I can't control this. And it has resonated in other places in my life.
Love it. I love it.
Pollyanna.
What is the worst thing that's happened?
I've seen what people are really made of. And the other, physically, the radiation burns.
Yeah. What was the most surprising side effect?
Probably my stinky armpit.
Stinky armpit. I just learned that there's a dance move called the stinky leg.
Yeah. Oh, I heard about that one.
Did you?
I know about that one.
So, but you have the stinky armpit. It's cool.
Stinky armpit. That one was the most surprising. Yeah. Well, and then also tripping over my feet.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Not surprising as much as the armpit, though.
And a year later, I'm like, seriously?
Who is that? Oh my God, it's me. Okay.
Is it the cilantro? What is it?
Of all your doctors, if you could bring one home with you and keep them, which one would it be?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot. I'd want to be around him for all different reasons. Dr. Rivera.
Rivera. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got more.
I was going to say, and then Dr. Pacella.
Okay. Well, they seem to get along well. Maybe you could just have them both.
They can both come on. Yeah.
All right. Dumbest thing that anybody said to you.
Aside from it's a chemo thing. At least you're getting new boobs out of it.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
Yeah, that is pretty dumb. Or I think the other one was, it's not that much different than a boob job.
Mm-hmm.
Something was said about me that was beyond dumb was, it's just breast cancer. Everybody gets over that. Really?
The thing that made you most want to have a drink.
Ooh. Radiation burns.
Again, but the radiation burns. Yeah, I can see that.
I think the realization that I was never going to be the same person after this as before, in good ways and bad ways, but the bad ways made me very sad. And a lot of it has to do with my brain power. And just the way that my brain works sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have called this rapid fire. Maybe I should have called it like fill in the blank or something.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking too much.
No, you're not. I just realized that you're not as rapid fire as you used to be. And that wasn't very nice of me. All right, Kristen.
Rapid-ish fire.
Rapid-ish fire. Okay. What vegetable does your right breast most resemble today?
Does it have to be a vegetable?
I would accept a fruit.
Today, a cantaloupe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the left?
The left. Kind of like a grapefruit that's soft on one side.
Okay.
I'm sounding really... Anybody want to date me? I'm sounding really attractive. I'm the girl with the BO and the droopy grapefruit breast.
What's the vegetable subscription where they send you like the misfit vegetables?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think I have misfit vegetables.
What are you most looking forward to this year?
Oh, feeling better. I'm most looking forward to getting these expanders out and seeing myself less deformed. I'm also looking forward to seeing what I decide to do with my hair because it has so much curl in it when I don't cut it. So we'll see what I do with my hair too. But I think, knock on wood, I don't know that I could feel a lot worse this next year than I did this past year. So yeah, I'm looking forward to to finding somebody who wants to date a girl with BO and freaking boobs.
One side, so just steer clear of that side and it'll be
I've made myself sound so attractive. I live alone with my dog. Okay. It could be with the cat, I guess.
Just a reminder that we do have a Patreon. If you found this episode highly entertaining and want to contribute $1, $5, any amount, we appreciate everything.
You got me all flustered laughing, thinking about who would want to date me. And we also wonder about that person.
If you want to date Kristen, remember to write us a review of the show on Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, or anywhere that you listen to the show. We always appreciate your feedback. We want to know what you want to hear from us in the next year as we move forward into other topics now that she is cancer-free for now, right?
Cancer-free for now. No evidence of disease.
Thanks for listening to Breast Cancer Stories. There's a link in the show notes with all of the resources mentioned on this episode and more info about how you can donate. If you're facing a breast cancer diagnosis and you want to tell your story on the podcast, send an email to hello@theaxis.io. I'm Eva Shea, your host and executive producer. Production support for the show comes from Mary Ellen Clarkson, and our engineer is Daniel Cruiser. Breast Cancer Stories is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.io.